conference calls and to connect with all of you folks. And we've got an exciting topic today, you know, because many of you have been either writing books or you feel like you've got a book in you or you're in the process of writing books. I think about 60 of you have said that already. And that's a lot of work going out there into the world. So we're excited about that. And in our network, we have experts who really connect into this sphere. So with us today, we have Charity Bradshaw. Charity, it's awesome to have you with us today. And you have launched so many people writing books and giving them the courage to do so. And we just love all your contribution in the network, too, especially on the Facebook page. You're amazing. We have Carol Martinez on the call today as well. Carol is really special to our ministry because she is our publisher, and so she's the one that formats and edits and pulls together all my books. All my books are pulled together by her, except I think three that I did with another publisher. So Carol is amazing. So she's had years and years of experience, I think probably over 40 years maybe. But anyways, we're really happy to have her expertise. And then Wendy Walters, who is amazing. She is a coach. She's an executive coach, and she's a personal brander and has helped people for years just define who they are and their message. And she has also helped a lot of people get their first book out. She's got a DVD course called Release the Writer. And so we've got pure gold in our network. I mean, I just shake my head sometimes to see all of the gifts and talents that we have. We're blessed beyond measure. And so it's awesome. So thank you all for joining us and all you girls. And what we're going to do is we're going to have Charity share first. Each of the speakers is going to speak for about 12 minutes on things that the Lord has given them that will really inspire and encourage you concerning writing out your message. And then we're going to open it up for Q&A after. And we already have some questions that have been submitted here, and so we'll get those out there too and also give you a chance to ask your questions. But these gals, I mean, even after today's conference call, if you have a book in you or if you feel that you are feeling inspired to write a book, get in touch with them afterwards and see what they can do to help you, because they have empowered so many people. It's just been amazing. So, Charity, hello. We're going to have you first. And okay. It's just it's such a blessing just to see you and the way that you're blossoming in this season and the message that you're carrying and the encouragement you give to people, and even your marketing abilities are so blessed in the Lord. So thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to hearing what's on your heart today.
Thank you. I couldn't quite hear how many minutes you said that I had. Could you repeat that?
12.
Well, okay. I was like, is it 7, 10? Okay, 12 minutes. Perfect. That's great. Well, first off, I'm honored to have this opportunity to speak to you ladies who are live now or who are going to be listening on replay. I really appreciate the time that you're taking, especially if you just got that little, I wonder if there's a book in me, or I think there might be a book in me, and you're kind of just like tiptoeing around the topic, feeling like I've never written a book before. And I was like, guess what? Everybody who prior to their first book has never written a book before. So you get to go into that charted territory of writing a book as a first-time author. And that's, my heart is for the first-time author, the person who has never written a book before, because I remember very vividly how intimidating and unqualified I felt. I felt intimidated by the process and unqualified to do it, because I was like, well, who am I to write a book? What do I have to say? Who would listen to me? Has it already been said before? All those kinds of things. And in one of my current client's books, I was reading over her manuscript, and she had actually had a quote from my grandmother, which I often am not, I'm like, find out things that people write that I never knew my grandmother said. So she said this: a miracle is worth a million words. And that's my grandmother, Frances Hunter. And I never knew my grandmother said that, but it was so poignant to me because it actually contributed to the author that I am now coaching writing a book. And I was like, what a phenomenon that multiple generations of my family have been prodding this woman to get her book out, and she's actually in the network. And so that was really inspiring to me. And so I think a lot of this is if you feel like you have something to share, it's probably because you've experienced a miracle. You probably have experienced something, some sort of transformation or answer to prayer, or God has given you a divine solution for something that may come very easy to you but be very difficult for others. And I call that your area of genius. What is it that God has equipped you with, skills that just feel effortless, that you can maybe share how you arrive to that place, but also your testimony. I was just reviewing Revelation chapter 12, the whole chapter, because we know the verse, you know, and they were set free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and it's like, oh, they overcame. But it's like, what did they overcome? Like, that's the whole scripture about the serpent being released as a dragon on the earth, like basically the devil being kicked out of heaven and onto earth, and how the woman fights against this serpent, and they overcome him by their testimony. And I think that right now we are experiencing, like no other time before, the presence of the enemy on this earth. And one of the things that I believe will be a key to this remnant surviving is our testimony. And I know that when I put things in book form, they will be there for generations and generations and generations, my family, your family. It's like I leave my heart, my testimony, my word here on earth to stay and to encourage those that live at my same time and beyond. So that's one thing I want to encourage you is look through Revelation 12. I know sometimes we don't like to read the last chapter or the last book of the Bible because it's like so much symbolism and it seems so confusing. But I think as scribes, as those of us who want to get this message that has been burning inside of us out, you have to understand why it's important. And why, if you've been sitting on it for years, as likely many of you have, I know that my average client that I work with has had a book idea for 4 years or longer. So you're in good company if you've had this idea for a while, but you've been just peddling around. It's time to get going. It's time to remember the why. And that is, you know, the mountain of media. I know that a lot of you guys are familiar with the term mountain. But basically, it's just media right now we know is so corrupt. Messages that are being propagated right now are so biased in a direction that is not of God. And my passion is to help Christians get their messages out. Goodness, let's be bold about it. Let's not be the scared, you know, kid that's being bullied on the playground. Let's just say, look, this isn't right, and it's time for me to share my message. Another thing that I want to encourage you in is that no one has your voice. Now, I'll give you the first book that I ever wrote, not published, but the first book I ever wrote was my book, Money Wise. And I wrote that book at the time living in Nashville. And I don't know if any of you know a man by the name of Dave Ramsey, but he also lives in Nashville. And in my mind, he wrote the book on money. You know, before I wrote my book, I was like, well, the book on money has been written. It's called Financial Peace, or his new book called Total Money Makeover. I'm like, why should there be another book on finances? And my mom, Joan Hunter, encouraged me. She's like, Charity, he doesn't have your voice. He doesn't have your perspective. Not everyone can hear from him. And it was my mom's constant prodding for about a year that got me to actually pen my thoughts on money. And what I've found is that, you know, I had a lady that was in hair school with me. She said, Charity, there's enough heads to go around. And what I mean by that is, you know, your book doesn't have to be read by everybody, but you have a tribe. You have a group of people that respond to your way of speaking, your heart, because they resonate with you. Not everybody can handle Dave Ramsey's intensity, but they can handle the Jane Fonda approach, or they can handle the Charity Bradshaw approach. They can, you know, he's kind of like the P90X, let's go and go nuts, and that's great, but sometimes we need a softer, slower, you know, process to be able to cross the finish line. And that's, you know, I accept that. I accept that I am not like him, but I do have the same goal as him, and that is to help people get their finances in order, as well as to steward other areas of your life. So bear in mind that no one has your voice. That you may say, well, everybody's written a book on identity, or everybody's written a book on their testimony, not yours, not your book, not your voice. So get over that. The next thing I want to encourage you in is to don't be ashamed to get the help that you actually need. Don't be ashamed. You know, we don't shame anyone who goes to a personal trainer who wants to lose weight. We don't shame anyone who goes to a nutritionist who needs to get healthier. We don't shame a person who goes to a psychologist who's got things to say and get off their chest. So why would we shame ourselves for getting help that we need in the area of writing a book? You know, Wendy has a great course, Release the Writer. If you're a person that can learn how to write a book and do it, that's great. Some people need accountability. I'm one of those people that need accountability, and that's why the program that I set up called Launch is built around for people who know that they need accountability. You know, I'm a person that, like, information is great. And I mean, if I acted upon all the information that I had, I would be, you know, trim, fit, healthy, and happy, right? But that's all of us, if we acted upon the information. But we have to act. And a lot of times we're ashamed to actually get the help that we need in writing a book. We have so many questions. We need direction. We're afraid. We feel alone. And I'll tell you this, there are mind battles that you will face in the writing process. And that's why I believe it's absolutely 100% important to have people in community with you as you write. You know, my group has about a 6 to 8 person group that writes together. That way you can find out, hey, you know what? The enemy's tactics are not just to you. They're across the board. He doesn't want messages coming out, which is why you will experience certain things during your writing process that are a little bit unusual. Like, yes, he's trying to stop you. That's not a secret. You're not alone in that. And so I am a firm believer in not being ashamed to get the help that you need, to accept the help that you need, and to give yourself that gift, whatever it is, if it's direction, if it's coaching, if it's information, whatever it is, get yourself that gift of information. Get yourself the support that you need. So to recap, a miracle is worth a million words. Write your miracle down. If you've experienced it, it's worth sharing. Because as Revelation 12 tells us, it's the word of our testimony. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be witnesses. Witnesses and share our testimony. Also, no one has your voice. You're the only one that has your set of experiences and your voice. And lastly, don't be ashamed to get the help that you actually need. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Charity. That was absolutely awesome. You're such a clear communicator. I love you. You're one of my, you know, favorite people, actually, that I like to, you know, read your comments and listen to. You're so easy to listen to. And I know that you're just in a season of acceleration right now, and we just praise God for you and for the way that you have a heart to encourage others in the areas that God has imparted to you. I wanted to say also to all of you, just to give you encouragement, I never wrote a book until I was in my 50s. I never even had a desire to read a book. I never thought of writing a book. And so the Lord spoke to me and told me to write a book. And I said, but I'm not an author. And he said, but I am. And he had me just receive by faith the author anointing. And that was the beginning, and now I have over 72, 73 books, including manuals. And this year I'm going to be writing 12 curriculums complete with manuals. And so I just want to encourage you, and it's never too late. It isn't, you know. So, just be encouraged, even if you don't know where to start or whatever. We've got, like, people like Charity and Carol and Wendy. They're there with courses that can help you and mentoring and training and coaching, and it's just beautiful to get that message out. I loved what you said, Charity, about the media. I think it's so important that we combat it with just more, like, with righteous media. We can't complain about negative media if we're not doing something about it, and definitely writing. Even if it's not a full book, it could be a series of blogs on a subject, you know, that we could combat the media, the message that's out there with righteous media. So thank you so much. That was absolutely stunning. Okay,
thank
Carol,
you.
You're next. Carol Martinez,
Hi.
We're excited to have you on the call and look forward to what you have to share.
Sure. And just following through with what you and Charity were just commenting, I love this quote from Daniel Webster. Everybody who's written anything knows very well who Daniel Webster was. He was the one who wrote our dictionary over 200 years ago. And now we see it, mostly all of us online people read Merriam-Webster, but he was the first guy. And he wrote this amazing quote years ago, and I think that it is ever more actual for today than ever. And this is what he said. He said, "If religious books are not widely circulated among the masses in this country, I do not know what is going to become of us as a nation. If truth be not diffused, then error will be. If God and his word are not known and received, the devil and his works will gain the ascendancy. If the evangelical volume does not reach every hamlet, the pages of a corrupt and licentious literature will. If the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of this land, anarchy and misrule, degradation and misery, corruption and darkness will reign without mitigation or end."
Wow.
Yeah, that is a wow. And as we know, this is, it's just exactly prophesying what we can see today. So this is just to say that our books, what we have to say is important. And, of course, we can add this to the written word, to media nowadays, to visual media. And I just want to encourage all of you book writers on that, too. Nowadays, we know that visual media is so prevalent that sometimes we might think, oh, no, well, who's going to read a book? Everybody just wants to see videos now or watch messages. But, you know, the written word has been here since the beginning of time. It was something that God established. He commanded Moses and other people in the Old Testament throughout to write. We know that what we have today, our Bible, is based on the written word. So never feel like you're going to be out of sync or out of date because you want to write a book. Sure, of course, nowadays a lot of people will be reading an e-book instead of a print book, but that just tells you that more than ever the book is strong, the book is alive and well, and people are always going to want to know what is next. And we just ought to consider ourselves the privilege of being God's voice piece. And as we know, even Habakkuk, where he said, you know, write the vision down. And so often we think of just writing the vision as what we're writing for ourselves. But writing the vision can also be what God has given us as a vision with which we can feed others. So writing it, it's always, always important. So I just want to go, and I mean, everything that Charity said, you know, it's just, I 100% yes. So I'm just going to go in a different direction also to give y'all a little bit more, and I just want to talk about a few practical aspects about writing the book, you know, and some things she already said, but I'm just going to say some things that are very obvious, of course, always before we write a book. If we want to follow what God is telling us, we always do want to spend time in God's presence, seeking exactly how we're going to say what we're going to articulate and make sure that it is from the perspective that God wants. Then a wonderful way to start, if you say, oh, I have all this to say, I don't know how to start, that's what I so often hear people say. And, I mean, once you have your passion, once you know what it is, that big message, that miracle that happens in your life, that huge learning lesson that you know, just go back to a great way to start is just go back to your high school or even grammar school composition class. Start out with an outline. And there is no better way, and that's also your way to keep yourself kind of like disciplined, even though you know you can move your outline around eventually. But start out with an outline. And then what is your objective? Write down in words, why am I writing this book? What did I learn? What am I trying to achieve? What do I want to get across? How do I want to bless others with what I said? So write a general objective of what you want to do for your book. Then just write that outline. Just think, what would your chapters, as I say, all of this can evolve, but this is just to get you started. Think of what your chapters would be, you know, your outline, your A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. And just write a gold sentence per chapter just to get you started. And I say all of that can change eventually. And something I do want to say, and I'm saying this very much from a pastoral perspective, And that is, when you're writing your story, make sure you're writing from a healed, humble, and holy, blessed heart. So many of us have gone through a lot of things, and we have overcome. And we want to share that story of overcoming, and we want to share how God helped us and led us to get over that. But sometimes, if we're not careful, the pain might come out in such a way that it might look like we ourselves have not totally overcome a certain areas we thought we did. So if you're writing something that presented a very emotional season for you, something very difficult from your past or anything like that, I do really want to encourage you to do it alongside somebody that you can get feedback from, somebody can pray with you through it, somebody who might even read it and say, hey, you need to change this, you need to tone this down, are you sure you're ready to say that? This isn't to scare you. This is that often when we write, it can be a healing to ourselves. But that's exactly why we want to show that end result, that healing end result. And we want to make sure that our book never comes across that we want to share how the fits was done to us in such a way that that shines more than the overcoming. So just always be careful about that. As I say, talk it over with a counselor, a trusted friend. Something else very practical, and I'm just sharing this because I know stories, I know people who dealt with this, and that is, if you were dealing with difficult things that had to do with your family members, your children, perhaps your ex-church members or whatever, if it is something that you feel like needs to be said just for the purpose of your book, make sure you never say something that you have not, if possible, talked over with your children or somebody before. I've known at least two or three cases of somebody who's written a book talking about how they overcame a situation with a child, but they did not talk with that person before and say, I'm writing about this. Let's just talk it through. And it has actually caused breaks in the relationship. So just pray and ask for wisdom in these aspects. I mean, books are wonderful, but we do always want to make sure that everybody is blessed. It doesn't mean that it's always going to work out the way we want. Maybe somebody will, you know, just ask for wisdom in God's direction. Something about Bible. Whenever you're teaching the Bible, writing about the Bible, I just want to give you a good suggestion, too. Never just write a Bible story from the perspective of your memory. Go back, and even though you might have that Bible story and that application so well in your mind, go back to it, read the Bible story again two or three, four times, and you might even get a fresh revelation, and you might even realize that some kind of revelation you thought you had wasn't there. So just always go over your Bible again and again and again. Even now, sometimes when I'm writing a blog or writing something and I'm going to write something that I know, and then I go back to that Bible passage and I say, I never caught that. So it's just always exciting we can do this. So I always say that a great book is a good combination of inspiration, research, biblical and other type of research, feedback, experience, takeaways, insights. I'd like to say it's stories with teaching and teaching with stories. If you're going to do a lot of teaching, add the stories, add the experiences, add Bible stories, your own stories, anecdotes, whatever, because that's always great. So that is that basically what I want to tell you at this point. And always one final practical thing, make sure you get a good editor, because editors are very, very helpful. Charity talked about that, the coaching the editor. And if you get a Christian editor, that's best. You might find a great editor in another area, but you do want a Christian editor with the good biblical fundamentals that can help you to process what you are writing. So just be blessed and know that you are fulfilling God's plan and purpose for you. So get that vision, write it down, and let's be a light in the midst of all the darkness with what God is calling us to write and say. Blessings to everybody.
So excellent. Thank you so much, Carol. And one of the things that just came to mind, too, is about these days, like you had mentioned, ebooks. And for those of you that are writing for the first time, and you didn't want to put money into print distribution because sometimes that can be costly. You can get maybe just a couple of books on demand so that you've got some in hard print, but you can distribute your books so easily these days through electronic distribution, and even putting it up on Amazon and different places that it can get out there and be sold to to people that can download it. So it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Carol, you also have translated a lot of my books now into Spanish. I'm looking forward to having more. But another thing that I might just want to comment on to all of you who are listening is just the reach that we can have into the nations. So I had Carol translate, I think it was 4 books, wasn't it, Carol, just before I went out to Miami.
I translated 5, and I also translated 2 of Jones and 1 of Charity.
Oh, okay, but I'm talking about the ones that I took out to Miami. I think it was, so 5 of those books. And we ordered what I thought was a fair amount, but they just flew off the shelf. And so that's the Hispanic community, not just in America, but it was a international event. So it's gone out into the nations now. So that's really exciting too. And again, through Kindle or electronic copies of books, you can get them translated and then send them out to the nation. So it's awesome. And Carol, you also mentioned something about like your message, like make sure that you've gone through. You know, if you're going through something, be careful not to write. Until it's seasoned. And I just wanted to say yes and amen to that. Make sure that your message is tested also, because you can write out of revelation, but if that revelation isn't tested and proven in your own life, no matter how great an author you are and how well you can express in ink, the authority of the Spirit won't be on it, because it takes the revelation of the Word and the testing of that Word in your own life to make it the testimony. And so I just felt your points were so amazing, and I so love and respect you, Carol. You're awesome. Okay, also we have Wendy Walters with us, and Wendy's a good friend of mine, and we're buddies, but I so respect her as a coach, as one who is just getting out there, even beyond church walls, and making an impact. And it's just beautiful. And so many people have really enjoyed her course, Release the Writer. But her and her husband, they've been in branding and publishing for a long time. So Wendy, we're so looking forward to hearing from you.
Well, thank you, Patricia. So I want to stir something in you. I'm assuming all of you on this call, Women in Ministry Network, that you're leaders in your field, wherever you are, whether that's at home, in the marketplace, in a church, in a parachurch or ministry, whatever that is. And I would just like to really stir something in you about publishing. You know, Psalm 68:11 says, "The Lord announced the word, and the company of women who published it. They are a mighty throng." Another one says, "The Lord gives instructions, and the women who announce the good news are a large army." God knows women can carry a message. Like no one else I know, women know how to carry, because they carry it like they carry a baby. They carry it till it's full and ready to be delivered and then nurtured and developed and grown. So I want to speak into you apostolically and prophetically that the message you have inside of you, it's because the Lord gave it to you. He gave you instructions. He's given you something, and it is your job to be obedient to release it. At whatever level that is, at whatever that looks like, there's a reason for you to write, even beyond your personal testimony. And I love helping people with personal testimonies, but I actually want to focus my 10 or 15 minutes here, 10 or 12 minutes, on those of you who have something maybe even beyond your testimony, beyond a story. Like there's something in you. You know you have to answer a call. You have an unction. There's a message burning inside of you that you know you need to share. You know it's larger than yourself. It's one of the reasons you even joined this network, because you know you have something to offer, and you're trying to figure out, what does it look like? How do I get it out there? How do I take and be a wise steward of the instructions the Lord has given me, of the vision he's shown me, of the things I've walked through, the character I've developed. So one of the ways we can be a wise steward of what God has given us is we can articulate that message, and we just release it out into the earth so that it can grow and expand and amplify his glory. So for many of you, you're on this call because you know you're supposed to write a book. You know it's in you. It's been confirmed over and over again. And for whatever the reason, either it hasn't happened yet or maybe you've written and you don't know how to go or where to go, but I'm urging you to answer that call. Answer the unction. Say yes to God. As soon as you've given your yes, the how will begin to reveal itself. The right people, people like Charity, people like Carol, they'll begin to reveal what you do to take the next step. Obviously, writing is a wonderful way for self-discovery. Those of us, again, if you've walked through whatever you've walked through, whatever pain or sorrow or triumph or joy, writing is a great way for self-discovery. But even more than that, I want to encourage you that writing defines your platform. All of those who know that you are supposed to be moving into an arena, whether that's in the business arena or in the family mountain or media, it doesn't matter what mountain you feel called to, in order to leverage your influence, writing allows you to define that platform. A book is the best business card you've ever invested in. They're like your little ambassadors out in the earth all over the place. They're speaking when you're asleep. They're getting into people's hands you've never had a connection to. So in essence, I want to increase your faith right now. I want to speak into you to increase your faith and believe that whatever seed you have, all you've got to do is plant it in the ground, and the wind of the Holy Spirit will literally take and send those little seedlings, those little spores out anywhere he wants to in the whole earth. A bird comes up and eats a seed in one yard, and it might get a tree planted in a yard 100 miles away. That's what books do for you. They're little seeds that go out into the earth, little soldiers that go out and carry the word. So you're going to define your platform. You can also, through a book, declare your mastery. One of my particular niches that I help people with is those who are moving into coaching or consulting. Even like Charity. Charity has moved into author coaching and author consulting as a result of her connection when she came to me. There are at least 10 publishing houses that have sprung up just through that Release the Writer experience, and more that I don't know about. That's just the 10 that I know about. So when you're moving into an arena where you have mastery, you have skill, maybe that's with finances, maybe that's with health, maybe that's with counseling. I don't know what your arena is, but that book helps you declare your mastery. Again, it just lets people know, this is who I am, this is what I have to offer, and this is how you connect with me so we can get it together. So that book becomes this amazing tool for you. Again, it allows you to be a wise steward of what you carry, the things God has given you to carry. That book is just one way that you're, it's like the parable of the talents. It's you taking, and you're not burying your message in the soil of your own heart. You're going out with some risk and leveraging the talents he's given you to double them, to triple them, to bring multiplication. So a book can expand and declare your mastery. It'll also, as it leverages your influence, it can help you create a resource stream. Not just the front end of books you sell, but the opportunities that come as a result. I wish I could tell you how many speaking engagements or coaching clients or just incredibly fruitful relationships and opportunities have come as a result of someone who read one of my books somewhere that I had no connection to. And because we carefully crafted that platform and we gave them a call to action, they knew exactly how to contact me, get back to me, and for us to take another step together. So in the things that I train people, it's a little bit different beyond just sharing a testimony, even if you're writing a personal story or a testimony. I would encourage that publishing without some attention to branding is a bit of a wasted opportunity, because you're putting a message out there that you're actually inviting people to have a longer conversation with you, to do something else with you. So there's some practical things you can do as you're writing that book. I encourage people many times to write the conclusion first. What is the big takeaway you're asking people to get, whether it's your personal testimony or a teaching or whatever it is, when they're done, when they close that book, what decision do you want them to have made? What action should they have taken? What should they know now? What inspiration? What are they motivated to go out and do? If you can answer that big question and literally craft your conclusion first before you write the rest of the book, if you have crafted that invitation at the end, the call to action, then everything else you write will just naturally leave them breadcrumbs to that conclusion as you're writing. It will increase your focus. It will increase the power of your message. And think of it like this, a feature film. When they film something, they might film 40, 50, even as much as 100 hours of film. But only 2 hours of that film is going to make it to the final cut. Because we need to understand what an audience has tolerance for. So all the beautiful things when you're writing, particularly writing personal story or testimony, process it all. It's cathartic. It's healing to write it all out. But then be willing to think of it like a feature film. Okay, I can only put out, you want to write a book people want to read. So you need to make sure that you're just communicating things that take them to that conclusion, that are highly important to that story, and that will keep their interest all the way through. You would much rather have somebody come back and want more from you than get tired and close the book before they're finished with you. So that feature film can help you. As you're doing, think about all the things you've written. You want to get it down to just the things. Then even think about it like a trailer. What's the 45 seconds they put together in a trailer that make people want to go to the two-hour film?
Okay.
So those things can be very helpful. And the last thing is really to leave a legacy. You are writing for a generation who is yet to be born. I am the seventh generation. I've passed forward the baton into my eighth generation. I know I'll touch 9 and 10. But these books, I imagine them being read by my great-great-great-grandmamas and, great-great-grandchildren. And this is my Granny Wendy wrote this back in 2012. Like, that excites me to know that I can still speak to a line of children that haven't even been born, that I'll never get to hold because I'll be in glory. And I'm speaking to them. I'm leaving something for them that they will know what their heritage is and who they came from and rise up. So I just want to speak prophetically over you right now. Those of you who are on the fence at all, you're having any hesitation, any fear, any concern about resources, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak the book to come forth. You are a great company of women. You are our large army. God has given you the instruction, and you will be blessed when you publish the word. Every resource you need is coming. It's being attracted into your hands right now. Your fear is gone. Your writer's block is a thing of the past. You are moving forward. I want you to see that finished book in your hands. I want you to imagine the effect, the impact it will have on the life of the one who reads it, who didn't know you before. You are creating an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to make a transaction, and that will be blessed, that influence will be increased and expanded. So there's so many things I wish I could give you practically. You don't need a lot of money to publish. You can publish with very little money. You can publish with a lot of money, but you don't need it. And there's so many practical things I don't have time to share on a call like this. Patricia has mentioned the Release the Writer DVD course. That's brand new. It's just come out. It's 11 DVDs. It's available on our website. If you use the coupon code WIMN for the Women in Ministry Network, you'll get $50 off of the course.
Okay.
And you can even choose. I have an option there to choose free shipping. So that's lots of practical things, publishing checklists, how to get on Amazon, CreateSpace, printing. Like, all of the practical things are there, as well as I can't help it. I get that little prophetic impartation motivation. So that's woven all throughout. But that's available to you as a resource. And I just really want to encourage you not to let lack of knowledge, not to let a lack of experience keep you from taking the step of faith to do what you know is in front of you. So that's just kind of where I wanted to share.
Amen. That's so rich. All three of you, this is just so rich. I mean, I just pinch myself so often when I just think of the quality of women that God is raising up in this hour, and we all get to connect with each other. We get to be part of this family together. It's just amazing. So thank you so much, ladies. It was just amazing what you shared. I was thinking earlier, someone had mentioned about, maybe even a couple of you had already mentioned about your voice is different from anyone else. The way that you would say it would be different. Isn't it interesting that we have four Gospels? And a lot of those Gospels tell the same story, but it's just in a different way. And so when God's releasing truth into the earth, he wants it to come in every way, shape, and form. And so we need to rise up and be that voice for him. He's looking for a voice in the earth. And as we give voice,
to what the Lord's speaking to us. But that's where angels are activated on that, according to Psalm 103:20. We know that his word does not return void. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. So we've got a wonderful opportunity in this hour. So it's been awesome being on this call with you. Michelle's going to lead you into Q&A right now. I've got another appointment I'm going to run out to here. But it's been wonderful being on the call. And look forward to listening to the questions later and to see what God's speaking through your hearts. And each one of you is so important. So it's awesome. And I expect to see even more books. I think Michelle's going to share some new ones that are coming out just recently or have come out. And, our network is rich. And so we're just so blessed. The deposit of the Lord's word in each of them is so rich and beautiful, and the love that everyone walks in. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Patricia. It's always awesome to have you on the call with us. And it has been a rich call, for sure. I'm going to switch over to question and answer mode. And hold on. Doing that. And if you do want to ask a question of our host today, if you'll press *6, that will put you in the question queue, and we'll get to as many of those as we can today. And while you're thinking of your question and pressing *6, there were some questions that had come in, and one of those, if the host would like to maybe address that, one of the questions is, what would help those who don't feel they have time to write?
I can chime in, or we can go in order or whatever. But, uh-huh. I would say you make time for whatever you think is important.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, that's just the long and the short of it. I wrote my three books with four kids homeschooling while my husband was at nursing school or working. And you will by nature prioritize what you find valuable. And I know that's like a broccoli kind of an answer, but it is the truth. I mean, whenever I work with my clients, I'm like, we waste time every day. We do. Nobody does not waste some time. And that's the time that I like to tell my authors that we deal with. That's when we write. When we'd normally be vegging or wasting time, that's when we write. I'm not trying to take away time from the family. I'm not trying to take away time from, good rest or exercise. I'm like, we waste time. There are times that are down times, and that's when we write. And there are times when you just say, I need to pull away, and I need to go, and I need you to understand. But I don't buy that we don't have time to write, because if God put it in your heart, he also is going to provide the time. And so I think it's a matter of just evaluating your situation and saying, what do I need to hit pause on for this season of writing, and then hit unpause when I'm done. I stepped down from worship team when I was writing one of my books. I stepped out of a couple of my kids' activities when I was writing the book. I mean, so it's just a matter of reallocating the time that you do have.
It's good, Charity. And I think, to maybe piggyback on that, that there has been a devaluing lie that has been told to women and men, actually in the body of Christ, that what you have to say is not important. And I would just like to really cut to the chase with that right now and say it is absolutely a lie. And to allow that thing to be stirred up in you, lay hold of it, own it and label it correctly, that this is what God has said to me. This is what he has shared with me. And just because maybe it's become very familiar to you, it doesn't seem maybe like it's as impacting as what someone else is saying. But that's just because it's become worked and seasoned in you, and that is the voice that needs to be spoken. Call it valuable. Begin to label things correctly, or brand yourself as valuable. Right, Wendy?
Absolutely.
All right.
I would say one of the things, and I teach this on one of the sessions, I have kind of a unique way that I teach people how to plan their book, how to break it down not just into the individual chapters, but into the subsections using, you know, subtitles and things that will keep people moving along. And I have found that when a lot of times it's because we don't have a really good plan and the project seems so vast, so you don't feel like 15 minutes is enough to help or 20 minutes is enough to help. When you really have planned your book out well and you have that plan solid, then every time you have a spare 15 or 20 minutes, you can jam out, I don't care if it's 150 or 200 words, if it's 500, if it's four paragraphs. Every time you have a little chunk of time, because you have a great plan, you can let those little moments. So I've written, not only am I a writer, I'm also a ghostwriter and an editor and all those kind of things. So that has to happen in the in-betweens. I can do it, you know, when I was sitting waiting for an orchestra rehearsal or when I'm in an airport and I've got 30 minutes between a flight. So a really solid plan for your writing will allow you to take advantage of all those 15 to 20-minute sections, and it's amazing the power of momentum. Once you find yourself and you start, like, seeing your word count pile up and seeing the chapters start to get done, the momentum comes and you start carving more and more time. Another thing I encourage people to do, not just for writing, but for branding or for putting out any kind of books or courses or products, is you need to put an appointment with yourself on your calendar, even if it's just once a week. Treat it with the same respect you give when you have an appointment with your doctor or your dentist or your hairstylist. Make an appointment with yourself on the calendar so that anything else that comes up, any other opportunity that tries to take over that time, you can say, I'm sorry, I'm already scheduled. I can't accept whatever fill-in-the-blank invitation. So by putting a regular appointment on the calendar with yourself, you tend to get things done. So those are my two things, is really great planning so that you understand even small chunks of time that you just find in the middle can progress you towards your goal so that momentum builds up. And the second thing is for you to actually literally carve an appointment with yourself that you treat with great respect and don't let other things crowd into it.
Really good.
I don't know anyone more.
Can I add something
more
really quick?
Yeah, just one sec, Carol. I don't know anyone busier than Patricia, and she is a prolific publisher of books. And I just, you know, I tease her and I say, you know, you sneeze and you've written a book, you know. But the reality is that she's very intentional, and she is in the airport, she's on the airplane, any of those times that is any kind of a place that she can carve out, she's intentionally going after that and releasing what she's got. Go ahead, Carol.
Well, I was just going to add something really just piggybacking on this, and also what both of us talked about, coaches, is get yourself, you know, so often you start with something, and then you get busy, you get distracted, then you get discouraged, and say, I'm never going to get back to it. So it's always good to have a good accountability / coach / cheerleader. If you can just have somebody, and I mean, maybe we should say we shouldn't need that, but the fact is often we do. And so just have somebody to cheer you on, but also somebody to hold you accountable if you feel like you need that coach. Somebody say, okay, how's it going? Yes, you can do it. Somebody share something, would say, hey, that's great. What happened to that? So that's just something I would add out. Because
yeah, really
often
good.
It's not just busyness. It is that we get, as someone said, you get discouraged. And you say, it's just never going to happen. So you need somebody to help you get back on track and to help you to carve that time back.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Carol. We do have a question. Let's go ahead and take a live question here real quick. I think this is Sharon. Sharon, are you on?
I am. Hi. First of all, I want to thank you all so much. Every speaker, I've taken loads of notes, and I can't even tell you how helpful this has been for me. So thank you so much. My question is going to be specifically to Wendy, and she said something about she said something interesting about writing the conclusion first, and that just really hit me. And I'm responding to God telling me very clearly to write a book. And this was a few months ago, and I have pretty much almost my outlines done. But Wendy, if I could just ask you to share a little bit about writing the conclusion first and how that ties into the outlines, and just share your insight on those things and how they connect.
Okay, thank you. That's a great question, Sharon, and I would be very glad. Think about it this, you've all heard this, this is not new, you know, begin with the end in mind. So it's sort of from that perspective that we are, it helps us, even when I help speakers, I train people to speak, do public speaking, motivational speaking, even in ministry, and I will often have them develop that call to action or the altar call moment, develop that first. So we know where everything is pointing to, so that we get to the end and we've boiled it down to what is the most important element or most important theme, what's the big takeaway we want people to have at the end of whatever this thing is they've done with us. So by developing the big takeaway and what you want them to do on their own personally or with you, by developing that first, you've created a real strong landing. You know, we've all been to a message where somebody's a really great preacher, but they just, at the end of the message, they just circle the airport, and there's no ending, there's no landing. It just goes, and you kind of are left hanging. Authors do the same thing. They write, and they write, and they write, and they write, and the book never concludes with any power or strength. So by writing the conclusion first, you have determined, you've set the course. This is the end zone. You've set up the tape, and you know where we're going to go at the end of the line. We want to break this tape, and that's the finish. So it has power. By doing that, it allows you to sort of weave that into the story all along. Same thing, go back to a feature film. Think about at the end of the film, like there's foreshadowing all through a movie that you don't actually get the importance of until the conclusion, and then suddenly all those things make sense, and it's so much greater. It's the same thing with writing. Also, remember that to capture the attention of a reader, that first chapter is so important. It's the most important chapter. That's the one that's going to make them determine if they're going to keep reading or close the book. Okay, your first-time author spends all of their energy on chapter one. Okay, if that's the first chapter they're writing, it's probably not going to be their best. I generally encourage people to write chapter one last. So it's the best offering. It's the best at the, you know, Jesus at the wedding, why did you serve the best wine first? Okay, it's the best wine out of the bottle. So I encourage people actually to write that first chapter as the last chapter, so they've had all their experience writing, so it's the best possible offering. So that's the reason I encourage. And you know what, a lot of times people will go back and they will end up rewriting the conclusion. I don't care if they wad it up and throw it away at the end. But by writing the conclusion first, you have told the reader where you want them to go. And when you told the reader where you want them to go, you've told yourself. And you will just naturally weave it all the way through the book without effort. It will just happen naturally because you know where you're headed.
Really good. Thank you, Wendy. Good question, Sharon. We've got another question that was written in. And it's, what are some of the things to avoid in the writing process? I know, Charity, you speak to this in your webinars, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll say one of my top things to avoid, especially as Christian writers, I know Wendy talks about this too, because we see it a lot, is you don't have to write things in all caps. You don't have to write things in bold. You don't have to put a bunch of air quotes on things. Just treat it like you're talking and let your editor help you point out what's really important. So save your editor some time by not feeling like everything is shouting. And exclamation points, chill out. Allow yourself like 3 exclamation points per book. You know, everything's not an exclamation point, otherwise nothing is an exclamation point. So those would be a few things. And that's just a practical thing that I see a lot and that pains a lot of first-time authors is when you are quoting the Bible in your books, do your best. I learned this myself on my second book. Wendy walks through this with me. I used a bunch of different versions of the Bible, and I didn't know that you had to notate each verse that had a different version. So I had to go back through like 100-plus scriptures and find which version did I use and do a proper citation for that. So I would say if you can, do yourself the favor and stick with one version of the Bible. That way your citation process, yes, citation, that's a word that was way back from high school and maybe college for some of you, citations are a big deal, and so doing those correctly is important. So do yourself the favor of just sticking with one version or doing the work of notating every single version for every verse that you use so that when it comes to citation time, it's very simple and organized. And then just, you know, think about not using the same word over and over and over and over again. Like, not everything is amazing. There's other words than amazing. There's other words than really. There's other words than like. So just, you know, stretch yourself a little bit and also aim for that, you know, middle school reading level, because that's honestly is where most live, is in that middle school to maybe early high school reading level. It doesn't have to be sophisticated. It can be quite simple and serve the purpose that you have for it.
Great. Carol, do you have anything to add?
Well, I think what she said about the citations, I was definitely mm-hmm. Would have mentioned that too. Absolutely. You do have to observe all that. And those are copyright laws, and so you have to stick to that. And then something else, because every now and then somebody comes with a great book, a great book idea, they think, you know, and I mean they do, but it ends up being 75% Bible verses. And there is a very, very strict copyright law. You can read them, like, you can go to Bible Gateway, Bible Hub, or Blue Letter Bible. All of these have copyright notices about most of the Bible versions. And there, most of them say you can use up to 250 or up to 500 verses from our version, as long as it is only 20 or 25% of your book. So read through all of those permissions. And, of mm-hmm. course, when you're doing decrees, you can paraphrase everything, and you still get the Bible out. But aside from that, I think something I said and then Wendy said, and we just once again want to go on that, you don't have to tell your whole story to get to the nitty-gritty of what you're trying to come across. So do avoid, just avoid writing out everything or write it out first, but then go back to it and see how much of that really needs to go in there. Be very, very sure that your pain is only spoken of in terms of victory. So do avoid that Christian expose, because unfortunately I have read that kind of book published by Christian publishers. Do avoid that. And also take into account your market, or your target. I'm like, who are you writing to? And mm-hmm. I mean, remember that most people, it's going to be easier for them to read a shorter book than a 100,000-word book. So avoid long, long, long books. The more concise it is, the better. So I would just say avoid that. Avoid the wordiness, the repetition. And basically those would be the things that I would say in a nutshell.
Uh-huh. Great. That's really, really good wisdom from both of you. Wendy, do you have anything to add to that?
So I would say in the Release to Writer, I actually devote an entire session on targeting your audience, on really, really knowing who you are writing to, so that you're writing with relevance and emotional resonance to that person. So the thing I encourage new authors to avoid is trying to feel like they're writing to everyone on the whole planet.
Mm-hmm.
The more you narrow it down, I actually encourage you to narrow that audience down until you can put almost a face to a person, if you were sitting across the table having a cup of coffee, sharing this with them. Who is that person? And if you can visualize that person and write to them authentically and intimately, almost like it's a personal letter to a friend, the emotional resonance goes up 100-fold. And the exact opposite happens. Everyone feels like they were being talked to just by you. You actually end up reaching more people, not less, than when you're trying to speak with a big megaphone. So if you narrow your audience down well enough and you target that niche, same thing in branding, there's riches in the niches. When you find out who's interested in what you have to say, and that's all you worry about talking to, your success rate goes up exponentially. So I would say avoid trying to talk to the whole world, and learn who your target niche is, and just learn how to talk to them. Then you can talk with a whisper, and it still has impact.
So good. So good. I thank the three of you so much for just sharing with us the wisdom and
you are all three so very seasoned in this, and I know that what you've spoken there, it's just such a wealth of good tools, nuggets, information that I hate to use the word information because it's beyond information, but there's an impartation that has come through in what you three have spoken today and prayed into the ladies on this call that are going to listen to this call. And we release the writer in each and every one of you ladies in the network. We are out of time. But I did want to just do a shout-out while we're on the subject. Kelly Bryant has a book that came out the end of June called Steps to Freedom. And Andrea Mode has a book called Misunderstood that is coming out this month. And I'm thinking, ladies, if you will, anyone who has a book that comes out in between our newsletters, if you will send me an email with the information, just like a couple of sentences with the information, I would love to include those all in our newsletters that go out quarterly. Awesome. For the network. You know, our heart is we want to celebrate you ladies and what you're doing. And so I think that'll be a really fun way to do that with those of you who are getting those books out there. So I love you. We're at the end of our call, and so we will have our next call in August, and I think it's the 13th, but don't quote me. I don't have it in front of me. I love you guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.